Welcome to week four of 91 Weeks of Transformation. This is Pastor Rock Dilliman, lead pastor at ACAC. This week, we're reading from the Book of Beginnings, the Book of Genesis, chapters 33 through 43, and sprinkled in four of the Psalms. This week's readings remind us in recurring fashion that yielding to God's transforming work in our life does not gain us a free pass where trouble is concerned. In fact, the accounts we've been reading this week remind us that those who are determined to follow God, grow in their relationship with God, and be transformed by God, sometimes appear to encounter even more trouble than those who have no place for God in their lives. And I say that as a preface to reminding you that when, as a child of God, you experience unforeseen, painful, unwelcomed trouble in your life, there will always be the temptation to assume that somehow that trouble has arrived in your life because you have done something wrong, or because you lacked faith, or because you haven't been following God closely, or because you haven't been listening to God, or because God is disciplining you, or because God is punishing you, or perhaps because God wants to get your attention. Have you noticed we as human beings tend to interpret everything in light of ourselves rather than in light of God? And because of that, we tend to misinterpret our troubles. And then, rather than responding to them in a transforming, powerful way, we tend to respond to them in rather unfortunate ways. So as we read about the troubles that Jacob encountered as he followed after God, I want to make it clear that those troubles were not always indicators of some failure on his part. Many times they were things that happened totally and wholly independently of his walk with God. But for the purpose of our study, I want to emphasize that God is with us in times of trouble. One of the Psalms we'll look at makes that very, very clear. And if we'll listen to the God who is walking with us in our times of trouble, we will experience transformation. In short, God wants to make the troubles of life preludes to the next installment of your transformation. That doesn't mean he sends those troubles. It doesn't mean he needs those troubles to transform you. It doesn't mean he can't transform you apart from trouble. Again, those are all old wives' tales that we tend to embrace because we interpret things in light of ourselves rather than in light of God. God doesn't need trouble in your life to transform you, but trouble in this world is inevitable, even for the righteous. And in the midst of your troubles, God can do and will do a transforming work if you lift your eyes off of false guilt and false blame and place them on a God who will always be true to you. As we now immerse ourselves in our readings, we begin with chapter 33. And while we're going to be talking about trouble more than anything, that's not the primary focus of chapter 33. Chapter 33, we read about Jacob meeting up with the brother that he had wronged, his brother Esau. Now, Esau was no paragon of virtue. You remember he placed virtually no value on his spiritual birthright. He was willing to sell it for a bowl of stew. But Jacob was wrong in deceiving him. So when they hooked up, God was giving Jacob a chance to make a past wrong right. And as you read the story, it has a happy ending. The brothers are reconciled. They bless one another. But I do want to emphasize that as a part of being transformed into the image of Christ, we will at times need to make some wrongs right. I want to add, you can't always do that. If you've wronged somebody in the past, and God speaks to you about the need to make that right, you may approach that person, you may confess to that person, but they may want to hold on to their anger. They may want to hold on to their bitterness. Remember, Paul would later say, as much as it lies within you, live peaceably with all men. Sometimes it doesn't totally lie within you. So you won't always be able to reconcile where there's been a wrong, but you can always put your part in the wrong right by confession and repentance and by asking forgiveness. At that point, then it's up to the other person if they want to receive it or not, but you have done what God has asked you to do. And let me simply say, that's not one of the glamorous parts of our transformation. It can be one of the difficult parts of our transformation, one of the unappealing parts of our transformation, but it is a very necessary part of our transformation. And I say that because until you make a wrong right, you, in essence, allow the enemy a foothold in your life. And he will always take advantage of that foothold. Well, now, as we move into chapter 34, we move into a recounting of various troubles, reminders that those who are pursuing God passionately are not immune to tragedy. First, in chapter 34, we read the ugly account of one of Jacob's daughters being sexually attacked, raped, and abused. If there had been a Me Too movement in that day, she would have been a vocal part of it, I am sure. And that led to Jacob's sons carrying out some horrific acts of revenge that went far, far beyond making that wrong right. And I'm sure Jacob's heart was broken. In fact, I know it was, not only by the tragedy that befell his daughter, but by the deception perpetrated by his sons. And that would bring him future trouble. So trouble, trouble, trouble in chapter 34. Then in chapter 35, we see that Jacob had to ask his household and all who were with him to put away the foreign gods that they had gathered. And that's a reminder that sometimes the troubles we encounter in our transformation will flow out of the idolatries that have been embraced by members of our very own family. But in the midst of dealing with that, Jacob in verse 3 of chapter 35 said that he would make an altar to the God who answers him in the day of his distress. And indeed, that's a reminder that in the midst of the troubles of life, God is with us. God answers us in our times of distress. Later in that chapter, God changes Jacob's name to Israel It's a significant name change that spoke of his destiny as one of the fathers of the Hebrew people. Then we quickly move back into tragedy, the death of his beloved Rachel, and then the death of his father Isaac. And sandwiched in between them, one of his sons laying with his father's concubine, and Israel learning of it. Trouble, trouble, loss, death, tragedy. After reading one of those difficult-to-read chapters filled with difficult-to-pronounce names of Esau's descendants, we then move to the story of Joseph. And in chapter 37, we're reminded that the troubles Jacob experienced because of his son Joseph began in part with a horrific mistake on Jacob's part. We read in verse 3 of chapter 37 that Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a robe of many colors. And his brothers, when they saw that he was loved more, hated him and couldn't speak peaceably to him. And I simply want to say that all of the troubles that ensued because of that had their foundation in Jacob's mistake of favoring one of his children over the others. As a parent and as a grandparent, I know that our children are not all the same. Some of them seem to please us easily, and others seem to cross us or disappoint us or anger us just as easily. No two children are the same. But a godly parent will love all their children the same. They will love that son or daughter who just always seems to get things right just as much as they love that son or daughter who always seems to get it wrong. Because if we show favoritism, we ourselves are planting the seeds of trouble. We ourselves are encouraging comparison, jealousy, bitterness, anger, and resentment in our children. So some of the troubles that Jacob encountered had nothing to do with Jacob in many ways, but some of them were Jacob's own doing. And the mess with Joseph, Jacob was a contributor to that mess. Well, Joseph quickly starts to become the lead character, the central character in the drama of redemption and in the stories of transformation. And Joseph needed some transforming before he could be a humble, effective ruler. Because, as you know from the readings, when God revealed his future to him in a dream, he ran out and told his brothers the content of the dream. He told them that one day his entire family would bow to him. Now, they already resented him because he was daddy's favorite. But he went out and said, "And someday all of you guys are going to bow down to me. Even dad will bow down to me." It was a stupid move. It was a dumb move. It was begging for trouble. And if you beg for trouble, you will find it. Well, Joseph found it, and he found it quickly. For as you know, his brothers sold him into slavery and told his dad he had been killed by a wild beast. In chapter 38, more trouble. The tragic story of Judah and Tamar and Judah's double standard, in which he act all righteous when indeed he had been guilty of extreme unrighteousness. In chapter 39, Joseph falsely accused and imprisoned because he wouldn't sleep with the wife of an officer of Pharaoh's guard. And that was trouble Joseph did not deserve. Do you see a pattern? The pattern is there's no pattern. Some troubles come our way because of our bad choices. Some troubles come our way because of the bad choices of friends and family. Some troubles come our way because of the evil deeds of others. Some troubles come as the consequence of our deeds. Some troubles come as the consequence of our righteousness and godly deeds. And that was the case with the trouble that came to Joseph when he refused to commit adultery with Potiphar's wife. But as we'll see in the story of Joseph, God can take our troubles and use them in unusual ways to advance our transformation and to lead us into our destiny. Well, as you know from your reading, Joseph eventually rises to power in Egypt. Who would have thought that? But as we read in chapter 41, God elevated him to power so that he could be a blessing to the population of Egypt, as well as to his own people. And it's a reminder that the transformation God wants to bring in your life isn't just for your benefit. God wants it to prove to be a blessing to the people where you live. Well, we end with chapter 43. And in chapter 43, Joseph has the opportunity to make things right with his brothers. And again, in doing so, we see how God had used the troubles Joseph encountered to transform him from the cocky boy who boasted about his brothers bowing before him to the humble, godly man who wept with his brothers and couldn't wait to bless them rather than say, "See, I told you so." The way Joseph reconciled to his brothers underscores what I am suggesting is the theme of this week's readings. You can't avoid trouble, but you can choose to allow God to make your troubles occasions for transformation. I believe Pastor Soper, in outlining our readings for this week, also understood that trouble and transformation theme, because the Psalms we were asked to read are Psalms that really reassure us in times of trouble. Psalm 20 opens with, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you." And that chapter goes on to remind us that when we're in trouble, we don't put our trust in chariots and horses, meaning we don't put our trust in the wits and the wisdom and the maneuverings of men. we put our trust in the name of the Lord, remembering that God's names signify all that He is and all that He does. From there, we jump to Psalm chapter 46, which contains that well-known verse, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And I want to point out that the word present actually means tried and proven. It says, when you find yourself in a place of trouble, God has a remarkable track record of proving Himself a refuge in the time of trouble and a strength for dealing with that trouble. Then we jump over to Psalm 75. And Psalm 75 reminds us that if it is others who are bringing us trouble, and sometimes it is, God executes judgment against those who come against His people. And then we close with Psalm 76. And that 76th Psalm appropriately focuses on the fact that God is the ultimate power, God is the ultimate authority, God is the ultimate judge. And so when you encounter trouble that is visited upon you by the evils of the unbelieving, God will weave those troubles into your transformation, but He won't allow those who trouble you to go unjudged. He will have the final verdict in their life. So, once again, trouble, trouble, trouble. Some of it caused by God's people. Some of it, the inevitable troubles of the world. Some of it, the attacks of enemies. But in all of it, God is present to weave the troubles into transformations. So, when you're trusting God, when you're praising God, when you're following God, when you're doing your best to obey God, and troubles come, remember, troubles don't spell the end of your transformation. They are often just the prelude to the next chapter of it. God bless you. No matter what troubles you encounter this week, have a great week serving the Lord.